the Sacramento sewage was really not doing too
well. And the blink of an eye, everything went wrong. They realized that there was a car following them.
Hello, friends. My name is Haley, and today I am joined with...
The co-host, Gianna.
The co-host, Gianna, and we're doing things a little bit more professionally now. I'm not going to have to edit out my page turns because I've got my handy-dandy iPad. As I always ask, do you know what I have in store for you today?
Nope, not at all. I tried to get it out of Haley earlier today, like earlier this week, and she was like, nope, you're not going to know.
Because I made the mistake. I was texting you because I was so enraged when I was doing the story. When I was researching everything, so I think that you're also going to have the same sentiments. It's going to be a roller coaster because we took it easy last week on the Judy Garland case. We're not doing that this week.
So here's another intense one.
Yes. Oh, I also want to say sorry to everybody who can hear the fucking chainsaw. Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre happening. I mean, I didn't hear it very much on this was going.
Let's see. Because now they're really letting it rip.
I mean, it's just going to happen, I think. Oh, now they're really, yeah.
They're really letting it rip.
They are, but it's just going to happen. We're just going to dive right in. So, here is 1985. It's April 30th. And a woman by the name of Lettice Sutton goes into labor. And she ends up giving birth to a baby girl that she named Maitrice.
Maitrice,
M-I-T-R-I-C-E.
What a silly little name.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. So Maitrice was born to her mother and her father, and her dad was a guy named Michael Richardson. There's a large gap in information regarding her childhood, but we do know that her mother and biological dad didn't work out because Maitrice had a stepfather named Larry who helped raise Maitrice in Covina, California. Maitrice attended and graduated from South Hills High School in West Covina, where she also was a competitive cheerleader. And she had a thirst for knowledge because she ended up going to California State University, and she studied and graduated with honors and a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology in 2008. Maitrice had it all, the smarts and the looks, and she used those to her advantage and worked as an entertainer while she was planning to go to graduate school. So she wanted to study and specialize in children's psychology, and for a time, she worked at a popular lesbian nightclub where she felt she kind of belonged because she was openly gay. So good for her back in 2008. Like, that's... you know, good. And, like, her family obviously accepted her, all of that. Yeah. She had it going on. And so she wasn't, like, a stripper or anything like that. I mean, clearly she was, like, a dancer. She always, like, that's one thing that I did read over and over, was that she was a dancer from, like, a very, very young age. Mm-hmm. And, like, her mom said that she could just, like, jump in the air and, like, break a fucking numb. So she was, like, really doing well during this time, you know, on the outside looking in. So we're going to flash forward a year after she graduates. It's 2009. She was in a long-term relationship with a woman by the name of Tessa during this time, and she had just graduated the year before, like I said, and, you know, life was good. She was living her best life. She and Tessa going steady. She lived with her great-grandmother, Mildred, and they had, like, a really close relationship. So also, can we just talk about the fact that Mildred is the most great-grandmother name I've ever heard.
It really is.
Yes, I was like...
Great-great-Mildred.
I was like, oh, damn. So, yeah, as I was saying, they had a really good relationship. Every Wednesday, they would have a dinner together. And, I mean, they also lived together, but that was, like, their set day a week to get together, sit down, and talk. So, September 16th of 2009 was a Wednesday, but instead of having their regularly scheduled dinner, Maitrice had other plans, and they agreed to have their dinner some other time. After briefly catching up, Maitrice heads out and decides to take a trip to the beach. So she heads up to Malibu, which is roughly 45 miles away from her home. Around 7 p.m., Maitrice reaches the bluffs of Malibu, and as it gets dark, she decides that she wants to stop and get some food, probably because she skipped dinner with Gam Gam. Mm-hmm. Maitrice sees a well-known restaurant just off the coast called Geoffrey's, or, I mean, if you want to be fancy, you can call it Geoffrey's, but it's Geoffrey's.
G-O-F-F.
Like Joffrey. Yeah, that's what it was. And she decides that you know, that's it. That's where we're going to stop. So Maitrice pulls into the parking lot where she's told that it's valet parking only, and the attendant left her to go park someone else's car. And when he came back, Maitrice was not in her car, but in his. Okay? So she left her car and just went in this guy's car. Obviously, he is absolutely confused and is like, what? Like, what are you doing? And, like, while he's talking to her, she's just going through his CDs in his car, and her response to what she was doing was, it's subliminal. What? Yes. So he's just as confused as we are. As if this really wasn't strange enough, the valet also notices that Maitrice was speaking in disjointed sentences, which immediately catches his attention, but he really just has no idea what is going on. Because she's literally just sitting in his car rambling about avenging Michael Jackson.
What the heck?
What the actual heck?
Michael Jackson fans are seriously crazy.
Yeah, well, she's out here. She's going to avenge his death. That's what she wants.
Good for her.
Yeah, yes. So he manages to get Maitrice out of his car and into the restaurant. When she gets inside, she asks the hostess for a table for one, and she goes and she sits down. The valet informs the hostess about the encounter he had just had with Maitrice and tells her basically just to keep an eye on her.
Like, yeah, dude, this chick's a crackie.
Yeah, we're like, she's having a good time. Maitrice ordered a steak and a cocktail to her table, but she wasn't alone for very long because she noticed a lively bunch of 7 people sitting at a table next to her, and she just had that kind of outlook on life, so she was just a people person, and she decided to go strike up a conversation with them.
She was had that carefree attitude. She's like, hey, can I join your table? I'm by myself.
Literally, that's it. So when Maitrice tried to join their group, she really wasn't making a whole lot of sense. I mean, as we gathered before from the encounter with the valet, she was rambling on about astrological signs and whatnot. And at one point, a staff member approached her group just to make sure that everything was okay. And one of the group members said that everything was fine. It was just a little bizarre. But I mean, I think that they kind of found amusement in it. They're like, oh, wow, she's had a lot to drink.
Left your needle outside or what?
Yeah, they were like, wow, we wish we were on her level. But honestly, not same.
Not same.
So,
yikes.
Obviously, Maitrice didn't order a $60 steak just to let it go to waste. So she went back to her table to eat by herself. But when she was finished, she returned to the group of strangers to chat it up once again. And by mine, like, damn, how long does it take y'all to eat? Like, they've been there.
Yeah. Maybe they're just chilling. Maybe they got some bottle service.
Maybe. She's still not really making any sense when she comes back to the table, and she announced that she was going to Hawaii and she would contact them when she arrived.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Shortly after the 7 diners left the restaurant, Maitrice, too, started walking towards the entrance when she was intercepted by the manager, who asked how she planned on settling her $89 tab.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Big oof. She tries to explain that the people she was sitting with paid her bill, and when the manager tells her that wasn't true, she says something like, I'm busted. And she didn't have, like, a bad attitude, she wasn't getting snotty, she was still pleasant, but was just like, oh shit. One report says that as the manager is speaking to her, she kept staring at the restaurant computer screen almost like she was in a trance and, like, not really seeing what was in front of her.
Yeah.
This is where things get a little hazy on the legitimacy of this account. It says that Maitrice told the manager that she was from Mars and made a remark about settling her debt with sex. So.
With sex?
Yeah. So I don't know how. She definitely was talking about, like, being from another planet and stuff like that. But I don't know if she ever was like, yo,
yeah,
I'll do a full split on that if I don't have to pay for my meal.
Do a full split on that.
Yeah, so I don't know how true that part is. But she made it pretty clear to the manager that she didn't have any money, and Maitrice emptied the contents of her pockets to prove it. And during that point, she took out a joint, and that was when the manager called the Lost Hills Sheriff's Department.
Mm.
When the manager was calling, she told the operator that they had a guest that was refusing to pay her bill, and she, quote, sounds really crazy. She may be on drugs or something.
Mm-hmm.
deputies were on their way while Matrice was still at the restaurant, allegedly saying a plethora of nonsense, like she had been watching a soap opera at work when God instructed her to take that afternoon off. Matrice also said that she had no parents, just her great-grandmother Mildred, which we know is a lie. So when this comes out, the manager was like, great, someone to pay the bill, and they get Mildred on the phone at around 9:30.
Okay.
So when Mildred answers, she was incredibly confused, as this was completely out of character for Maitrice. Right. She was so responsible, she wasn't a heavy drinker, and these people are being like, yo, she's on drugs, or she's drunk or something.
Crazy.
Yeah, so she, like, it was just out of character for Maitrice to walk into a high-end restaurant with no means to pay for her things. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Mildred was still at home in L.A., but she does what she can to help and was like, hey, I can give you my credit card information over the phone to cover her great-granddaughter's bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would have been it, right? Some chick tripping balls in a fancy restaurant that she can't afford. Well, I know that I wouldn't be telling you the story if Mildred had just paid the bill and that was it. So even though Mildred was willing to pay and put the charges on her credit card, the restaurant wouldn't accept the payment over the phone because they required the cardholder's signature for the transaction. And being that Mildred was 90 years old, there was no way for her to drive to Malibu to pay the bill.
Right.
Some reports that I read said that some of the staff members were trying to get together to pay her bill, but given the way that Maitrice was acting, the owner found it really concerning and was genuinely worried about her. Mm-hmm. So they decided that it was just better to have the authorities handle the situation and take her in.
Okay.
So Maitrice was still on the phone with her great-grandmother when three deputies arrive on scene, and they start talking to the manager, who relays what was going on and informs the police of Maitrice's overall odd behavior from start to finish. The staff says that Maitrice seemed pretty unfazed when she was on the phone with Mildred, but when she got off the phone, she was scared. When Mildred got off the phone, she immediately called Maitrice's mother to tell her of the odd occurrence that was taking place. And while that was going on in LA, Maitrice was getting her car searched by two of the responding officers. During their search of Maitrice's cluttered 98 Honda Civic, they were able to locate her ID, some scraps of weed, and some partially finished bottles of alcohol. So you're probably like, at this point, all right, so homegirl's acting strange because she's drunk off her ass, right? Well, no. So by her behavior, one of the arresting deputies had already suspected that Maitrice was drunk. So they were like, okay, we're going to give you a sobriety test, which she passed. So she wasn't drunk.
Oh.
Police then asked her why she was at this restaurant in the first place, and she told them that she had been drawn by the lights.
What?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but that does not sound like a sober person talking to me.
You sound crazy.
Exactly. So police are a bit baffled at this point, so they start asking her more questions, like whether or not she was on any medication or if she had ever been placed on 72-hour hold for psychological evaluation.
Like, you're about to,
yeah, pretty fucking much. Obviously, she answered no to both of these questions. One thing led to another, and Maitrice was taken to the station, which is what the owner and the managers of the restaurant had wanted, because, as I said before, they didn't think that Maitrice was fit to drive, even though, apparently, she had been sober.
Yeah.
Maitrice's car was impounded, and before Maitrice had even arrived to the Lost Hills police station, which is about a 20-minute drive from the restaurant, Maitrice's mom had already called them. Yeah, which that would 100% be my mom.
Yeah.
So obviously they know that this bitch is tripping balls because she's in here saying she doesn't have parents and her mom is on the phone.
Yikes.
So they were like, okay, what? Latisse had actually already called the restaurant too, but by the time she got on the phone with them, police had already taken Maitrice, and the workers at the restaurant informed Latisse just how strangely her daughter had been acting. So she already knew what was going on when she got into contact with police. Latisse was really conflicted on whether or not just to make the drive up to Malibu to pick Maitrice up that night. She had another daughter who was much younger than Maitrice. She was only 10, and Maitrice just couldn't justify dragging her out of bed to go on an impromptu road trip, especially if they weren't even going to release Maitrice until the following morning. Then they would have to worry about getting a hotel and all of this other stuff. So the deputy on the phone assured Latisse that her daughter would be safe at the station, and Latisse reiterated her concerns and said that, and I quote, I think the only way that I will come and get her tonight is that if you guys are going to release her tonight. She's not from that area, and I would hate to wake up to a morning report. Girl lost somewhere with her head chopped off. And again, the guy at the station told her that she would be safe, and he could just, like, she would just come and pick her up in the morning and everything would be fine. Despite that, Maitreese would be in jail all night. She did not call her mother. She called Mildred again because that was the only telephone number that she had memorized. Yeah. So staff at the jail later claimed that they heard Maitreese having a conversation, but Mildred insists that her phone never rang again that night. Yeah, so who was she talking to? So this doesn't necessarily mean that she was talking to someone who wasn't Great Gam Gam. She could have just been talking to the dial tone. We don't know because the call wasn't recorded. Yes.
And do those phones normally record?
Yes. So they were kind of having like a system error at the time. So one of the phones that makes the outgoing calls is the one that records the conversation, but that payphone was broken, so she was using a different one to make outgoing calls that didn't record the conversation, so we don't know.
They don't know, right,
they had no idea, but they just report that she was having a conversation with someone. Lettice assumed that Maitreese would probably just sleep through the night in jail and wake up with a nasty hangover, so she waited until 5:35 in the morning before she called the station. When she gets on the phone with a jailer, a guy by the name of Sharon Cummings, he tells Lettice that her daughter was no longer there. Yeah. And at that point, dread just completely washed over Lettice. Cummings was well aware of the fact that Maitreese's car was at the impound and she had no one coming to pick her up. He also knew that the only personal items she had on her were her two keys and her driver's license. Cummings claims that Maitreese declined his offer for her to stay in the lobby and wait for a ride, but he says that she told him that she was going to meet with some friends. And with that, Maitreese was released from jail at 12:15 a.m., 40 miles away from home, with no car, no money, no phone, in a rural town that she was completely unfamiliar with. They just let her walk out. When Maitreese got off the phone with the jailer, she called the station back, getting into contact with a different guy named Deputy Kenneth Baumgartner. This time, instead of calling to ask for her daughter, she was calling to ask how long she had to wait before she could file a missing persons report. Yeah. He told her that he wouldn't recommend filing one so soon and told her to wait. Lettice told Baumgartner that she believed Maitreese was highly depressed and in a depressive state and was in need of assistance in some way. I mean, obviously. I mean, because where could she have gone to willingly in an area that she had never been to before?
Yeah.
Despite all of this, despite sobbing on the phone, Lettice is told, quote, "Then why don't you give us a call back in a couple hours, and if she hasn't shown up or made contact with you, then maybe we can do something for you."
Hmm.
Maybe.
Yikes, something bad is about to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, at this point, what else can Lettice do?
Right.
An hour or so later, at 6:30 a.m., Lost Hills receives a call in regards to a prowler that the caller described as a slim, black woman with afro hair, end quote. He told police that when he asked the woman if she were all right, she simply told him that she was just resting. When he went to another window of his home to get another glimpse of her, she was gone.
Me when I'm trying to wake up for class.
Yeah.
And just resting.
It took 2 days after Maitreese's release for the police department to launch their first search for her. Unlike traditional searches for missing persons, the department didn't start out by sending cadaver dogs to pick up a scent of Maitreese's last known movements, but instead they start the investigation from the location that she was last seen at, this random guy's lawn. During their search, they were able to locate tracks left by Maitreese's shoes that indicate that she was running. The pattern of her sneakers was soon lost among hoof and tire tracks fewer than 100 feet from a place called Dark Creek. Officers did not explore farther than that and did not go into Dark Canyon to continue the search. Because Maitreese was from L.A., her case became part of the LAPD's missing persons unit. When they got a hold of Maitreese's car, they did a thorough search and found her journal, which led investigators to be able to conclude that Maitreese had been sleep deprived for several days and could have been suffering from a bipolar episode the night of her arrest. Yeah. During that same search, they also uncovered her ATM card, checkbook, wallet, cell phone. It's all still inside of her car.
Oh,
so she could literally pay
She
her
could
bill.
Have paid her fucking bill.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So the press took this story and ran with it, as they should have, and immediately people of color were outraged, as they should be.
Yeah.
Actor Mel Gibson had a run-in with the same police station in Agoura Hills back in 2006 following an arrest for drunk driving, and he was later given a ride back to his car by deputies, but not Matrice. Her biological parents looked past their differences because they finally had one thing in common. They wanted their daughter back, they wanted answers as to how and why this happened, but no one could tell them. Some of the officers from that night completely deny ever saying that Matrice was making, quote, odd statements or acting strangely in any way, and the department spokesperson, Steve Whitmore, declared to the public that Matrice, quote, exhibited no signs of mental incapacitation whatsoever, end quote. Which is clearly bullshit if the reason why the manager of this place called in the first place was the fact that she was acting crazy.
Yes.
And couldn't pay her bill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So while the department she actually went missing from continues to dick around, LAPD is, you know, chasing down leads, any lead that can get them closer to finding Maitreese. In order to help the police with their investigation, Maitreese's family put in a request at the station that she was being held at the night she disappeared to gain access to the jail cell footage so they could better understand Maitreese's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And to their surprise and everyone else's, Captain Martin told them that the footage didn't exist, and he went on to say that, quote, there is no video or tape of any kind, end quote. This was stated in the Malibu Surfside News.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we all know, like, in our guts, that they're fucking lying.
Yeah.
It came out in January of 2010 when Maitreese's family sat down with Captain Martin and Sheriff Baca from the LASD headquarters in Monterey Park that there was, in fact, a video, and Captain Martin actually had it in his desk drawer.
This guy's sketchy.
So sketchy. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So if you want your blood to boil even more, Martin was promoted during the time that all of this was playing out.
He would be.
He would be, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was replaced by Captain Joseph Stephen, who was actually the first African-American to run the Lost Hills facility.
Mm-hmm.
More on the video. So it would be 3 months after the family knew it existed before they would be able to see it. And when they saw it, they were left with more questions than answers.
Yeah.
After the technical difficulties that clearly did not exist were taken care of, Latisse says that her daughter appeared to be agitated and distressed on the film, but most of all, the video looked like it was edited. Here's a quote from an article I read about the video. For instance, one moment Maitreese is holding a piece of paper, according to those permitted to see the tape, and the next frame, the paper appears on the floor, crumpled. Why won't they show us how that piece of paper got that way? When they withhold information, it causes suspicions.
Yeah.
Did they cut the important footage? Which is, those are quotes from Latisse, which we are all thinking. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, all right, sure. They could have condensed the video, but it's not like it's just like fast forwarded or sped up or something. There are just chunks of video that are gone.
Yeah.
The sheriff's department refuses to comment on where the edited portions are. Of course, because if they wanted them to see it, it would still be in there.
Yeah.
What is even more concerning is about 2 minutes after Maitreese is seen exiting the station, a deputy goes out of an adjacent door, and Maitreese made comment on it. She said, it was shocking. For the first time, we learned that someone at the LASD might have seen or even talked to Maitreese outside of the station, and we thought that it was vital that someone look into it, end quote. Latisse is clearly, like, already an icon, but she is so well-spoken, and she speaks the truth. She goes out here, and she says, quote, he could have abducted her, offered a ride to her to the impound lot,
yeah,
left her for dead, and come back for her. Maybe he didn't see her. The point is, why have they been hiding him? Their job is to get off their donut-eating asses and find the truth, end quote. Yes. So, I mean, she's just saying shit that we are all thinking,
yeah,
and just, I mean, really putting everything she has to finding her daughter. So I will talk more about Latisse and the work that she and her family are doing for their daughter and friend later. But at this point in the story, the search for Maitreese continues, and it drags on for months without a break. So the police station had enough time to go and check on a marijuana growing operation allegedly being run by the Mexican cartel, but they couldn't find the time to email a video to a family whose child they let go missing. Oh my So these coppers were pretty familiar with this weed farm slash Snoop Dogg's paradise because they had flown over Dark Canyon and spotted this illegal farming and drug busted the shit out of this debauchery. So they had time to worry about all of that stuff. But whoever it was who planted this pot farm must have known what they were doing, because Dark Canyon was an ideal place to grow weed illegally because it's pretty like rugged terrain, and as a result, it's seldomly traveled. Not a whole lot of people go there. So on this particular day, these rangers were just taking a stroll one summer, making sure that the previously mentioned delinquents had not restarted their growing business. Goals. So when they get to the location, they see that no one had replanted anything, and there was just leftover supplies like water hoses, pipes, PVC pipes, general shit. The rangers decided to head down the stream, and I'm not, like, sure why they did this. I'm not sure whether or not they were going to keep looking for pot, but regardless, they continued the little nature walk, and they ended up kind of going rogue and, like, parkouring over boulders and shit, and they kind of took a detour through a clearing that was roughly about 60 feet up a slope from the creek bed. In or around this area is where they notice a skull, and beneath it, under months of debris and leaves, a semi-decomposed naked body.
There's our girl.
There she is. So it was soon confirmed that they had found the body of Maitrice Richardson. The mistreatment of this case is so horrible, and it's absolutely everywhere. But as if it wasn't enough that they didn't protect her in life, the system failed Maitrice yet again in the obscene amount of time it took to get the coroner and deputies on site. As I mentioned before, the canyon was rugged and tough, and Maitrice was a city girl, and so you do have to consider all of the options. So there's always a chance that she got bitten by a rattlesnake, but how can you rule out foul play when you don't know what evidence you have? I think one of the things that can kind of rule out some kind of freak accident is, in what event would you strip off all of your clothes in the middle of the canyon?
Just for funsies,
yeah. Yeah, like, I'm sorry. What? So the coppers tried to argue that animals carried Matrice's clothing off and away, but how do you expect a fucking possum to take off her belt, her jeans, unclip her bra? Like,
it's open season, that movie where the animals, like,
go fucking buck wild.
Yes.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's basically what those cops think.
Clearly.
Yes.
Not only was it just a portion of her outfit that was found, like her jeans, bra, and belt, but, like, where were her shoes, shirt, and underwear?
Raccoon took that one.
Yeah, he was like, oh, these are my size. I'm gonna wear them.
Ooh, my favorite.
They
a
fit.
A little bit of nude pumps. No,
perfect fit. Yeah, so in order for this theory to make any kind of sense, the animals would have actually had to remove her clothing. Like, they would have had to figure out how to unclip her two-prong bra, get it out from underneath her body.
Yeah.
Not only just the challenges of removing her clothes make this seem impossible, but the animals would have then had to take both the jeans and the bra 500 to 600 feet down the canyon, drop them in the creek, come back, carry Maitrice's belt another 100 feet downstream, and get it tangled in vines, because that's how it was found months later. How do you expect fucking Harry the Possum to do that?
Dude, those animals are crazy.
Dude,
this is like modern day.
Why are they like the
animals took it?
Yeah, how the fuck?
That's like something you'd say in like back
in the 50s when you don't know any better.
Yeah,
when you don't know any better, like, Jesus, like, yeah, I guess raccoons kind of have thumbs, but do you really think that they're gonna be able to take someone's bra off? They're gonna be able to unhook someone's belt?
I have been watching a lot of videos, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I do. Oh, I fucking do.
That possum's, like, staring in the window at sex scenes. And the
yeah, they're like...
It's like, I know how to do it now.
They're like, check, notes, writing it down.
The light bulb goes over its head, bing.
Wow. But, like, at the same time...
Next time I see a body, I will unping the bra.
But, like, at the same time, what the fuck is a possum gonna do with a bra? He don't have no titties.
He don't have no titties. It's like a Joey pouch. They, like, lost their pouch, so they, like, make their own.
Oh, they had to make the... Okay, never mind. But in that event, well, how come...
They had to DIY their own Joey pouch.
Yeah, so did they just bring it back when they were done with it?
Yeah,
they were. Why would her? Why is her bra still there?
So sorry, ma'am, I forgot.
Here you go. So, obviously, if animals had taken it and made a Joey pouch with it, animals would have had to eaten or made nests or Joey pouches out of Maitreese's two t-shirts, her socks, her underwear, and her shoes. So how come her other articles of clothing weren't destroyed? How come we have her bra, her jeans, and her belt?
Everything intact.
Yes. So obviously animals did not fucking do this, and we are not the only ones that think this besides the family. Clea Koff, a former forensic anthropologist, said that, quote, "It's absurd to suggest that this was the work of animals," end
Thank
quote.
You, Queen.
Yes.
Someone has their brain screwed up.
Right? Someone put on their thinking cap on this day.
Animals cannot do this, let me tell you.
Exactly. Like, I've never, like, America's Got Talent. Get that fucking opossum on there. We can make money.
Get that opossum on there.
Okay, so get this. So, Clea Koff also goes on to add, quote, "that the clothing could have been worn after a washing." So, aside from rust on the belt buckle, the clothing didn't show any signs of real damage from nature or other animals. Yeah. Like they didn't look like they had been left out in the elements for 11 months. And that's because maybe they weren't, but we will never know.
Yeah, because they would kind of be, like, stained, like, if a leaf raggedy. Hard.
Yeah, and my thing is, it's like, okay, yeah, animals could chew off a clothes, theoretically, but one, why the fuck would they do that? Two, why the fuck would they just be like, oh, I don't like denim. I'm not going to chew this denim.
Ew, I got denim on denim. Mm-mm. And then return it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and then return the bra when they're done using it. Like
it's a bookstore.
Yes, no. Like, no, that shit does not fucking happen.
But, like, also, what sick fuck would, like, be like, I'm finished wearing this person's
clothing. Yeah, yeah, like, where
this dead person's clothes.
So another thing worth mentioning is that Maitreese's body was sort of mummified, and I mean, because she was supposedly out in the elements for 11 months, shouldn't it have been fully decomposed?
Yeah. Oh.
So just for reference, the remains of another woman, Sandra Levy, were found a year after her disappearance in Washington Park, but when she was found, there was nothing but bones. So Maitreese was only out for 11 months. And Maitreese's mummified left arm was tightly flexed, almost like she was saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And Koff mentions that it's completely defying gravity. And no one can explain or will take the time to figure out why it's like this. Koff confirms that there is no way that the environment in which the body was found could have caused this effect. But if Maitreese's body were wrapped in something in a different environment while mummification set in, that could have, like, if she were wrapped, like, yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Like, in a bag or...
like, a sheet or a clothes. Tarp or something.
Yeah, a bed, a rug, anything.
Anything, right. So, one of the veteran LAPD officers that was interviewed, or it may have been the LASD, I'm not sure. So, one of the officers that was interviewed in one of the articles I read said, on the face of it, she was killed. It sounds like someone abducted her, killed her, and at some point dumped her body, end quote. Sheriff Baca had a different opinion, and after the Rangers had discovered Maitreese's body, he said in a press conference, quote, "We have no indication of homicide at this point. I don't believe that the remains are capable of telling us a story," end quote.
What?
Are you fucking kidding me?
He's probably the one that came up with the animals.
I think he is, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, who are you protecting? Who are you hiding? Like, what the fuck? So the coroner's office was also a bunch of shitbags, and they kind of had the same sentiment and didn't really look into what clues Maitreese's remains could tell us about what happened to her. Because, I mean, there was hair scattered around where Maitreese's body was found, but it was never compared to the hair on her scalp, and there was metallic fragments of an earring that Maitreese was not wearing when she was arrested, and it was also not sent off to a crime lab for analysis. So there's really no telling... Right. There's no telling what clues we have that are just being ignored.
What is happening in this case?
People are... It's clearly a fucking cover-up. It's clearly a cover-up.
Yeah.
So, as for cause of death goes, I don't know. I don't know if it was ever stated. I don't think it was. But there are things to point to strangulation because Maitreese's teeth appeared pink, which could be a sign of something like strangulation taking place.
Like her being, like, bearing down? Or...
I think it has something more to do with the circulation, but I'm not sure because I had never heard of that being. Because, yeah, I mean, you always hear about, like, the hyoid bone. Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know, that's the bone in the neck that gets broken when somebody is strangled or has some sort of trauma done to their neck. And they either got rid of Mitrice's or couldn't find it. And to my knowledge, they haven't gone back to the area to look for it either.
How'd they just lose a bone like that?
I don't know. So, in fact, it took them 6 months, actually, to return to do the second search after her remains were found. So, like, did they even search for it in the first place?
No, definitely
not. No. With so many things unanswered about what happened to her daughter that night, Lettice wanted to know all she could about what Mitrice might have went through. So she, along with her sister-in-law, Clea Koff, and another friend were escorted by LAPD's search and rescue experts, who provided them with harnesses, climbing equipment, and guided them upstream to where Mitrice's body was found in Dark Valley. And, like, another thing, if they need climbing harnesses, ropes, harnesses, yeah, and helmets to get to this place, how the fuck do they expect a potentially highly intoxicated girl to do it without, like, falling to her head and clearly bashing her head in? Like, how the fuck?
But, like, how did the police officers
get there? Well, that's what I said. They were kind of, like, doing, like, that parkour shit. They were, like, hopping over boulders, stuff like that, going rogue. Right?
That's kind of weird.
Right?
Who just, like, casually, like, parkours over a fucking mountain like that?
Right. And, like, now that I'm looking back on it, like, there's so many things that we don't know. Like, why the fuck, if you are clearly covering up something,
why would you
go and find her?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, because no one would suspect.
If you're like, oh my god, look, we found her.
Uh-huh.
Whoa!
Whoa! We just happened to go
parkouring one day. Whoa, look what we found.
I just wanted to see if I could do this in my bulletproof vest.
What?
I just wanted to see if I could do this in my bulletproof vest.
Yeah, see if I'm strong enough to do this.
See if I'm swole. Oh, a dead body.
Oh, hey, I better call this in.
Look, I put that there just 5 seconds ago.
I mean, might have. So, after a hike from where they started, they reached a location that they set out to find, the place where Mitrice was discovered. They brought with them some plastic flowers, some pictures, some candles, just to kind of make a small memorial for her. And when they were constructing this, they were kind of digging up the dirt. They found one of Mitrice's finger bones.
A phalange.
A phalange. So, at the same time,
How the fuck?
Mitrice had already been buried at this point, I'm pretty sure. So how the fuck, you're meaning to tell me
she's in there with a
missing finger? That they were, like, Jesus. If a mother, they're...
traumatizing.
Absolutely fucking traumatizing. I mean, I completely would be. I almost, like, cried reading that because I could just not imagine, like, oh, we're going to plant this here, or just moving back the stuff. Because, like, my thing also is, like, no, it's just the bone. There ain't no cartilage on there. There ain't nothing. So on December 26th of 2010, Lettice got into contact with Sheriff Baca to put in a request to have Mitrice's body exhumed to have another autopsy conducted, this time preferably by the FBI. So during this meeting, Baca had kind of, like, a change of heart, and he told Lettice, I called the FBI yesterday, and I asked if they would do the examination, and they agreed to it. I'm totally disappointed in the coroner's office's lack of sensitivity about this evidence.
Is that what he sounds like?
I don't know. That's just my voice for him. Okay. Clearly, he's a shitbag, so I can make him sound however. How I can make him sound however I want to.
You think shitbags are Southerners?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I guess. I don't know. Removal of the trousers. He said trousers, so I think that's it. I think that's where this accent's coming from. Yeah. So, removal of the trousers and even her undergarments and the belt are not acts of nature. I've always felt that it should have been treated from the offset as a possible homicide. When you say it's not a murder, you better know what you're talking about, and I don't even think we've been able to conclude that.
What?
Yes. So he basically, even though after, I'm pretty sure it was this bitch who said,
yeah,
no, it's animals. Yeah. This is totally fine. It's not a fucking, there's nothing to learn here from her body. Like, End scene. End scene. So you think that that's bad, right? Like, Jesus, clearly he's a fucking shitbag. Clearly we hate him. It gets even worse. After this meeting, the FBI headpersons in L.A. called Bacaback. And informed him that the Bureau actually would not be able to help him with this investigation. You and I are probably having, like, the same thoughts right now. Did Baca even get the FBI involved in the first place? And the answer is no! Of course he fucking didn't! One of the articles I read, they actually called the FBI asking for a statement on why they changed their stance so suddenly. And spokesperson Laura Eimeller said that they never agreed to do the examination in the first place.
What?
Yeah.
Homeboy is a bad cop.
A bad cop. A really bad cop. So 6 months of pressuring the coroner's office paid off, and in July of 2011, Latisse found herself at her daughter's gravesite in Inglewood Park Cemetery, watching Maitrice's casket be lifted up from the ground. This time, the examination would be done by the LASD's own crime lab, which was not ideal for the family, but Latisse is just hopeful that they will do what is right and help everyone on Maitrace's team get closer to finding justice for her. But Latisse knows that even if they know how she died, it's not going to bring her daughter back. So she devotes all of her days to ensuring that the daughter, Maya, that she still has, does not have to go through what her older half-sister did. Even though Maitrice's family has been forced to live their lives for years without her, the damage of losing her so suddenly has been done, and it's not gotten any easier to deal with the hole that Maitrice has left. And Latisse still has not regained trust in humanity, and I mean, I'm doubtful she ever will, and she will continue to follow behind Maya when she walks down the street on her own, because you just never know.
Well, also, she dug her daughter's hand, her finger out of the ground, so like, I'd be putting a tracker on my kid if that happened.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. And that is just the tip of the iceberg of the horrifying, heartbreaking, and enraging story of Maitrice Richardson's mysterious disappearance. And I highly encourage you to go to Maitrice's website, www.bringmaitricehome.org, for more information about her life and the impact, because this is, like I said, just the tip of the iceberg for this story. As with most cases I cover, we just do not have time to sit here and talk for 2 hours about how fucked up this is. Right. As much as I would want to. But I did see that, I'm pretty sure in like 2010, I think that the family is like pressing charges against.
Yeah, good. They should.
I think that they are filing some sort of lawsuit to get some sort of compensation to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Fuck that Southerner.
But I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I hope that they find, like, they get justice for the family. But I mean, Latisse said it herself, it's not gonna bring Maitrice back, so.
Yes, it won't. Yeah. I wonder if they just kept the finger.
I was just thinking, I was like, but like, what did they do with the finger? I wonder if when they exhumed her, if they put it with.
Or they kept it and put it on their fireplace.
To remember me by? I mean, that's probably what I would do, but we all know most people are not as fucked up as I.
I'd be like, get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do in that event. But, okay, so thoughts, comments, what you got?
That is so bizarre.
Yeah, can you see why I was texting you on Monday? Like, are you fucking kidding me?
So, like, is everyone saying it's a race thing? Is everyone, like, saying it's a race thing?
Yeah.
Specifically?
Well, not necessarily.
Southerners, man.
Fucking Southerners. I mean, they're in California, so clearly they're not Southerners, but it's just,
like, that's, like, the most liberal place.
Well, I mean, my thing is like, I think I'm just, like, associating it, just, like, deep South, Southerners. Mm. Yeah, but, no, there's definitely some controversy, because I watched some, like, news articles and shit, and people were, like, holding protests and things for that, and, like, one guy was, like, if Maitrice's last name was Lohan or Spears, she would not have been allowed to walk out of the police department that night. And I feel like that's totally true, because I don't understand how you, in your right mind, could look at this girl who's clearly going through something and be like, yeah, I'm just gonna let you walk out of here.
Yeah, she
all right. Yeah, she good. Back it up, Tara. Put it in reverse.
Like, just go slap some water on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, she,
She needed more than one water to get herself in shape.
She did.
It's so
and
weird. Like, I wonder what exactly tipped her off.
Like why she was going so long without sleeping.
And then all of a sudden, boom, like, why wasn't she sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
Was she being harassed by someone? Mm-hmm. And then this person, like, ended up following her to the restaurant, or then followed her to the... You know, there's a lot of questions.
There's so many questions, and it's just so heartbreaking because we're never going to know, because the people whose job it is to figure it out just don't want to. Yes.
Corrupt police officers
are fucking annoying. Okay, so that is it for this week's episode of A Spooky Hangout Potty. To all of the potty people, we do, in fact, have a Tweety now.
Yay!
Finally, it is at a Hangout Spooky, I think, on Tweety. Yeah, you can find us at A Spooky Hangout Podcast on Tweety. And yeah, so until next week, I don't know. I don't have my story picked out, so I don't know. I don't know what we're getting into, but I do know it's going to scar you. Okay. Until next week, keep it real. Goodbye.